Wow.
We've got quite a group today. We've got some visitors, we've got some folks we know, family here. We've got lots of folks. It's good to see you. Good to see y'all. Normally, Stephen would be up here, but he's on vacation. It's kind of his last day of vacation here, so I'm going to be preaching this morning and bring the lesson this evening as well as our song service. I want to share with you something I think is very timely, and it's really been on my mind, and I know lots of people's minds. And I'm going to talk about the situation we are today as far as all the information we're getting from all different kinds of sources. And this lesson was inspired by a couple of things. It was inspired by a couple of really excellent articles that our brother Harold put in the bulletin the last couple of weeks. One on influencing and influencers. And another one was about your reputation. And another thing that I kept finding myself singing this week, and I'm going to use the verses of this song in my lesson, is the song Abide With Me. And when I started thinking about this lesson, I've been thinking about it for a while, there was a verse that kept coming up to my mind, and it was a verse from Daniel chapter 8, verse 12. Now, this, and the verse says, "And truth was thrown to the ground." This is actually a situation, a prophecy of Daniel that has to do with the king of Greece coming, and king of Greece coming back in between the Medo-Persian Empire and the Romans. And he said it was going to be a really terrible thing, that he was going to be a master of deception, and he was going to have all kinds of wicked schemes, and he was going to prosper. And it says, and the truth was thrown to the ground. And that phrase just rang a bell with me. Because that's the world we live in, where truth is thrown to the ground. So we're going to talk about that today. I'm going to share a few verses with you, actually quite a few. And I want you to be thinking about, what must I do in a world like that, where truth is thrown to the ground? How should I live as a Christian? First verse I'm going to use is Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a dog by the ears. You ever tried to grab a dog by the ears? You know what happens, right? Dog doesn't like it. He'll turn around and bite you. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where is there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down to the inmost body. This is written by Solomon in the book of Proverbs. But do you see it happening today all around us? Do you see it happening today all around us? You know, Paul was talking about, in particular here, he was talking about widows, but I think all of us can definitely be in this. He says, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. That's 1 Timothy 5, verse 12 and 13. There's so much of this. Proverbs 10, verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide, when other helpers fail and comforts flee. Help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, it's getting way back in the Old Testament, it says, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, and you shall not stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. what I'm talking about today, if you haven't already figured it out, is the world we live in of electronic media and our behavior with that media. You know, growing up, truth seemed a lot more available. I really miss Walter Cronkite. If you're old enough to know who that is, you can appreciate it. When I was a young man, when I was a child, it was a ritual in our house to watch the evening news. It didn't come on at 10 o'clock, you know. You were supposed to be in bed by 10 o'clock because you're supposed to be up working the next day. But the evening news had come on, and there were three channels. There were only three channels in the U.S. that had the news on them, and they were highly regulated by the government, ABC, NBC, and CBS. And Walter Cronkite was one of the news anchors. And one of the things he said every single night at the end of his broadcast was, "And that's the way it is." And you know what? Maybe I was just a young man and naive, but you know, you kind of got to where you believe that. That's the way it is. You could trust it. What they were going to say was going to be what was really happening in the world. It was really true. And you grew up with that expectation that there were sources of information you could trust in this world to tell you what the truth was. Another one on the radio, a longtime favorite of mine, again, you have to be old enough to appreciate it, is Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey had a radio show, and Paul Harvey would tell some story, and sometimes it'd be funny, sometimes it'd be serious, and he always had a punchline at the end of the story, and he'd say, "And that's the rest of the story." And the point was, he was telling truth. You know, you had an expectation that you could trust what these people who were in these prominent positions of having a channel to talk to you would say. We don't live in that world anymore. You know, my parents used to tell me, "Don't believe everything you read." Now, that's really kind of funny today, right? Don't believe everything you read. Because back then, if you read it in a book, that carried some authority. No matter what it was. I mean, yeah, sure, there were plenty of false things written in books and newspapers back then. Sure, there was. But you grew up expecting that if it got to the printed page, it was probably true. Again, maybe it's just naive. In fact, I know I was because I'm going to tell you about it. But your parents would say, "Don't believe everything you read. Not everything you read is true." Was a lesson my parents taught me. So a lot of this has to do with something called propaganda, and there's a modern form of that called conspiracy theories. This is not a new idea, folks. It's not a new idea. In fact, in Matthew, we see an excellent example of a conspiracy theory. Matthew 28, verse 11. "Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened." This is after Jesus had rose from the dead. "When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, 'Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure.' And so they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying was commonly reported among the Jews until this day." There you go. You have not only a conspiracy theory, you have that is one that is funded with a lot of money. Right? That's exactly what it was. It was a lie. It was a lie created and paid for by the people who didn't want to hear it, didn't want to believe the result of Christ's resurrection. This isn't an unnatural thing with humans, unfortunately. Do you know God? God created us, right? He created our ears, he created our minds, he created our eyes, he created our mouths. Do you know that God created that ability in man that wants to hear something spectacular or strange? 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is when young Samuel, as a boy, was in the tabernacle, and God first talked to him. Verse 11, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.'" "In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken against his house, beginning from beginning to end." He was talking about the high priest who had raised ungodly children to be high priests who were ungodly. Right? But notice what he says. God says, I'm going to do something that's going to make everybody, both of their ears, tingle. Your ears ever tingled? It doesn't have to be physical, but you know what I mean. God knows too. He says it again in 2 Kings 21. This is a situation where God's talking about the king of Manasseh. The king Manasseh of Judah, who was a very wicked king. Verse 12, thus therefore says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I'm going to bring such a calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both of his ears will tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. There's some really strong words in there. Go read why God said such strong words and about the sin of Manasseh. But see what he's doing. We also hear about itching ears in the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, and because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You know, people's ears itch, and they tingle. We are attracted to things that are new. What is every ad for every product that's almost ever been? What's the word that shows up more times than anything? New. What's the second one? Improved. Right? Why? Because we listen. Because we listen. We want to know what's new and improved or whatever. Our ears itch. So this is not just a big jump, you know, in like ancient propaganda and conspiracy theories to modern day. If you want an interesting read in American history, go Google yellow journalism and read about it. I'm going to give you a little bit. Yellow journalism was something, a term that was coined in the turn of the two centuries ago, 1890s. Yellow journalism and the yellow press in America are terms for journalism and associated newspapers that present little or no legitimate, well-researched news, while instead using eye-catching headlines for increasing sales. Techniques may include exaggerations of news events, scandal mongering, and sensationalism. The definition of yellow journalism here. Joseph Campbell describes yellow press newspapers as having daily multi-column front page headlines covering a wealth of, I know some of you young people don't even know what a newspaper looks like because we don't use them anymore, but we remember these things. A variety of topics such as sports and scandal using bold layouts with illustrations and perhaps color, heavy reliance on unnamed sources, and an unabashed self-promotion. The term was extensively used to describe certain major New York City newspapers around 1900 as they battled for circulation. Yellow journalism, also known as tabloid journalism, was created because of an economic competition between two newspapers. It was all about money. It wasn't about truth. It was about, if I can say something wild enough that you'll buy my newspaper, I get your money. And guess what? Not only I get your money, I get the money from all the people who pay me to advertise in that paper because I have just delivered your eyeballs to those ads. That's exactly what it was about. Scandal, scary headlines, lavish use of pictures, faked interviews, misleading headlines, pseudoscience, a parade of false learning from so-called experts. Boy, that sounds like somewhere between Wikipedia and Facebook right now, doesn't it? Technology, though, has accelerated this trend to light speed. And it has democratized it. You know, it used to be you couldn't practice this unless you were rich enough to own a printing press and print a lot of papers, right? Guess what? Every single one of us has a printing press. Not just a printing press. We can share audio and video of anything we want. Any text we want to type, it's all on your cell phones right now. You can talk to the whole world. So what are you going to do with it? You know what's happened now? I think it's probably a wiser thing to teach our children. It's not just don't believe anything you read, everything you read in print, but don't believe anything you read online. Don't take it at face value. It's really funny when you take a look at it, because the electronic version of information really started around the 1980s when people started using it for something called email. Remember email? Some of you still use it. I was around back then. I had a company back then, and we were just starting to use email. And no sooner did we have email than we had what we called flame wars. You know what flame wars were in the old days of email? It had to do with this really nasty feature they had in there called reply all. Somebody would send somebody a message and copy three or four other people. Somebody would respond to that message and hit reply all and add two or three more people. And before long, you had 500 or 600 people all listening to this argument or debate between two or three folks, and then people jumping in and chiming in. This is all on email, folks, just the people who had PCs. This is in the 80s. Now we all carry around supercomputers by that comparison in our pockets. And we all do it all the time. It's amazing. How do you determine truth in a world like this? You know, it started with email. It went to web pages and blogs and texting. And then it's kind of reached its, apex or bottom of the barrel in social media. How do you determine truth online? You know, we used to think, back in the days of television, early days of television, they were going like, you know, one of these days we're going to be able to have 500 channels. And you'll be able to find a channel for anything you want. You know what? We have 5 billion channels on the internet today. Anyone can listen to anything they want. It creates a phenomenon called an echo chamber. You ever been in a cave or somewhere where there was an echo? And you say, hello, and what do you hear? Hello, hello, hello. Your own voice coming back at you. In technology, and especially on the internet, the notion of an echo chamber is you can find a place where everything sounds exactly like what you want to hear. You don't ever have to be challenged with a different thought. You don't have to worry about anybody saying, I don't believe that. For literally any topic, there are places on the internet you can go today where people sit around and argue all day long about the proper way to take a rock of flint and turn it into an arrowhead. And I'm not kidding you. They have terrible arguments over this, about what Indians really did or what cavemen really did to bash rocks together to make sharp stones. I mean, in every other topic you can imagine. Every other topic. We hear things like, well, that's the mainstream media. Well, what does that mean? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? The alt media, the alternative media. Well, then there are websites that whose job it is to check up on the other websites and say, well, I'm the source of real truth. You can trust me, right? And then there's websites that check on them and say, well, you can't trust them. You got to come to me for truth. How do you find truth in a day like today? Oh, we're fair and balanced. TM, Fox News, trademark. Trademark. What does that mean? We're going to make money on this. I'm not saying everything you ever hear is a lie. I'm not saying that all these places are full of falsehood. There's plenty of falsehood. But one thing that's absolutely true is they're all out for money. They do it for money. They do it to sell advertising. They do it to keep your eyes around for the next commercial. That is the reason they do it. It's not about truth. It's about money. It's about commerce. What about Facebook? Twitter, Snapchat, YouTube? Let's talk about Facebook. So when Facebook started, and I remember when it started, it was actually a yearbook. It was a yearbook made for college students to be able to share their pictures and stuff like we all did in yearbooks and write little things about, I remember so-and-so, and you know, I think you're going to be a really good, you know, really successful person, things like that. And they have this notion of friends, because after all, you don't want people who aren't your friends signing your yearbook. Pretty soon, people had hundreds of friends, thousands of friends, so-called friends. Those friends got to see some, not all, of everything you posted, and some, not all, of everything that everybody else posted. Who got to decide who saw what? Facebook, the company. How did they make that decision? Based on two things. What's going to keep you around longer to read more? Because then you're around for the advertisement, or you're around giving us information about what you care about and what you like and don't like, which we can sell to advertisers. I worked for IBM Research for 25 years, and I know the technology that's based on that. It's all about money. It's all about making you stick. Remember the notion of stickiness on websites? Did you ever hear that? That website's really sticky. Why? Because you get stuck on it and you can't leave it. How many hours a week do you spend on social media? Not saying that social media is inherently bad or evil, but how many hours do you spend? They are designed to get you to increase those hours. That's it. Not about truth. It's about time spent staring at that screen so they can either get your information or they can feed you ads. It's way too easy these days to click before you think. You know, we have a little song that we teach our children. Careful little eyes, what you see. Yeah, Caroline woke up. She knows that. Careful little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful little eyes, what you see. You know, we need a new verse. Be careful little finger, what you click. Oh, be careful little finger, what you click. We're all there, aren't we? We're all there. Psalm 49, I'm sorry, verse 40, verse 1. I wait patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. You ever feel like that? That your feet are sunk down in miry clay, and all this swirl of information and lies and all we're about is your money, and let's get everybody angry at each other so they stick longer on our website. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Proverbs 29, verse 8. Scoffers set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. Verse 11, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Verse 18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Verse 20, do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Verse 22, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles with his feet, he points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart, and he devises evil continually. He sows discord. Do you know that that is actually... and it's documented, hold it, documented where, by whom, on what medium, right? Do you know that one of the business strategies of the Facebook company is to create antagonism and argument between people? Why? Because it makes you stick around. So it's better for them to do that than for you to just go, oh, that's nice, and just go on your way. You've got to stick on this platform. They're not the only ones. A lying tongue, a proud, there are six things the Lord hates, and seven that are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who spreads lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. You know, this is not all just some big cabal, some evil band of people doing this and everyone else is innocent. Listen to Isaiah chapter 30. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. He's talking about Israel. Who says to seers, do not see, and to prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Jeremiah 9, verse 3. and like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord. Everyone take heed to his neighbor and do not trust any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, that means to overthrow, and every neighbor will walk in slanders, with slanderers. Everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, who weary themselves. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. You think this is just all old people, Old Testament and wicked people? Do you know Christians? Christians are susceptible to these things too. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. Guess what? If they can depart from the faith, where were they? In the faith. They were Christians. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Christian, is it possible for you to sear your conscience with a hot iron because of the stuff you spend your time on in your mind? Yeah, it is possible. We got to really take that into consideration. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. I'll start in verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, he is talking about spiritual things in that verse, but I think the principle applies broadly. I'm going to spare you reading Romans 18 to the end of the chapter, but it says very clearly why. Because although they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So God gave them up. Because they suppressed the truth in unrighteousness, God gave them up. Jeremiah 5. Run to and fro, verse 1. Run to and fro through the free streets of Jerusalem. See now and know, and seek in her open places. If you can find a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, then I will pardon her. Though they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? Verse 30. An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? What will you do? What will we do? This sounds pretty depressing, right? About this time you're feeling pretty depressed. I would imagine I sure was. But that depression has been around, you know, especially during this pandemic, because everything's gotten so out of whack and accelerated. People have way too much time to sit around online and do things. You know, and we have way too much time to stay around, think about stuff. But this has been going on for years. So what should we do? What should we do? You know, the first thing we should do? Habakkuk 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. We have a song based on that. Keep silence before him. Sometimes the very best thing you can do is keep silence. Be still and know that I'm God. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. One of Gilbert's favorite verses. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Listen to David in Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Later on in verse 7, he who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Those are pretty strong words. Strong words of one whose heart, God said, was after his own. What about words? Lots of wisdom in the Bible about words. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2. Do not be rash with your mouth, and do not let your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. Psalm 15. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Now, why do you think that's so important? Speak the truth. And not speak falsehood. And not spread slander. And not be a talebearer. Why do you think that's so important? Listen to Jesus Christ. Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And you know what? I think the modern equivalent of that is a click and a post. Does God watch? He watches. Does he know? Oh, yeah. You know, one of Stephen's favorite verses, and we use it as a headline in the Rutherford Weekly articles, is Psalm 119, verse 160. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your judgment, righteous judgments endures forever. In Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I'm getting on the positive side of the coin now. Do we live in a world full of falsehood and wickedness? Yep, we sure do. Does technology, for all the good things technology does technology give wickedness and falsehood a giant megaphone? Yeah. You know about megaphones? You know, one of the things that happened with technology was something called democratization. That doesn't mean people get to vote. It means that everybody gets to do it. What happens when you give everybody a megaphone? Do you get more information? Do you learn more? No, what do you get? More noise. Is that what we live in today? A world full of megaphones, blasting out noise. But what word do we trust? How, get back to it. How do you trust? What do you trust in an online world? John 8, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But just a few verses later, he's arguing with some of the Jews, and he says, you are your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, do you not believe me? You do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. What's the source of all this wickedness and lies and falsehood? Ultimately, it's Satan. What should we do? Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John 17, as he's praying on the Garden of Gethsemane before he's crucified, he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, he's talking about his apostles, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. Where should we spend our time? In the one source of information, printed or electronic, that changes not. That changes not. We have to do more, though, than just read it. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God. We have to receive it and respect it. Then we have to hold fast to it. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. And not only do you have to know it and hang on to it, you got to live it. Titus 2, verse 7. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that the one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Can you imagine being on Facebook and saying something and nothing having anything evil to say about you? I mean, I think sometimes I feel like the platform is designed to find people who are going to say evil things about you. I mean, just so they'll disagree. But think about it. What do we do about all those people who are that way? Romans 16, verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech they deceive the hearts of the simple. Serving their own belly, commerce, wealth, money. And all of us, they feel like, I guarantee you, that all of us are simple and that they can make us do whatever they want. They can make us scream at who they want us to scream at. They can make us vote for who they want us to vote for. They can make us buy what they want us to buy. And for the most part, that's right, unfortunately. Remember that verse I read? He has also brought me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. You know what to do if you find yourself feeling that way? If you're overwhelmed by the wickedness and the information in the world, the glut of falsehood and evil and lies in the world? Listen to Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimony. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. This creates a desire, just a few verses earlier in Psalm 119. Teach me, O Lord, your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Can you pray that prayer? Lord, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. There's so much worthless things out there. And they are literally on the sidebar of anything else you're trying to read. Even if what you're trying to read is a really good Bible study, there's going to be an ad on the sidebar of worthless things, I guarantee you. You know, in Exodus, even way back in the Old Testament in Exodus, there was good advice here. This is for the Christian now who's consider their ways and repenting of them. But listen to what he said back in Exodus. You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. If that was written today, it'd say, you will not repost that thing. You will not forward that meme. Great advice. Psalm 119, 101. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. A little later. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. That is our job, Christian. To restrain our feet. And to hate every false way. Psalm 26, verse 4 and 5. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of either evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Christian, where should you hang out? And we don't have a whole lot of problem with that these days with the isolation, because the only people we get to hang out with are people in our four walls, right, pretty much. Where do you hang out online? Who do you hang out with? Who do you spend your time with? Take this word seriously. Above all, this is it. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. Therefore be serious and watchful, as at the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Listen to our Lord and Savior. Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. And life and death, O Lord, abide with me. That's the lesson. I appreciate your bearing with me. I know it was a long lesson. What do we learn? Do our ears itch? Do they tingle? Is it attractive? Is it tempting for us to listen, to watch, to click? Yep, it sure is. What are we to do? Restrain our feet. Restrain our finger. Restrain our keyboard. Search for truth. Real truth. You know what you can trust? Almost nothing online. Absolutely. With no kind of worry, that's almost exactly true. Do you know there are even sites that publish the Bible that have gone in and edited it? You can't even trust that if you don't know what the Bible really says. 2,000 years ago, a man hung on a cross, and Kenny did a great job of reminding us of that here at the Lord's table. A sinless man, a perfect man, a man with love beyond our understanding, hung on a cross for our sins. 100 years from then, the beginning of the second century, we had the entirety of God's inspired word written down. And it has been protected and passed and translated and argued and debated about for 2,000 years. And it is here and it ain't changing. It ain't changing no matter what happens on the internet. It doesn't change no matter who's a president or who's not. It doesn't change on whose economy. It doesn't change because of a virus. It is here and it will stay here. You can trust that. Spend your time there. Seek it with your whole heart. Do what it says. If you're not a Christian today, do what it says. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Are you tired of being lost? Then obey the gospel. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ as Lord. Be buried in the waters of baptism. Rise to walk in newness of life. And then walk in the light, Christians. Walk in the light. If you have trouble walking in the light, and we all do from time to time, that's why it says, "And the blood of his Son continually cleanses us from all sins," in 1 John. Let us know. Let us help. So that's the lesson. do everything you can to love one another, including your enemies, including those people that post some flaming thing about you or something you hold dear. Seek truth with all your heart. Love one another and stay focused on the Word of God that changes not. If you have any needs, you can come forward as we stand and sing.
When Jesus comes to reward